T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Everybody's ripping on Cam Reddish this morning. I say I like Cam Reddish, and I'm not, well, Joe, I'm not trying to get all defensive of Cam Reddish and everything there, but man, just people are beating him up, and usually I like to dig my heels in and get angry. Do the Cavs like Cam Reddish? What do they think?
Well, I think they do. They certainly have liked him for the last couple months. You know, our draft guy really doesn't like him. It was really turned off by, you know, the evident low motor that everybody talks about and just how he sort of allowed himself to be swallowed up by not only Zion, but R.J. Barrett as well. So, you know, I would say that Cam is not the focal point for the Cavs in this draft, and yet there is certainly a scenario in which they end up with him.
Joe, I'm curious what the Cavs' strategy would be in a perfect world. Like, if they got everything they wanted in this draft, not necessarily the players, but the amount of picks and also, you know, the J.R. Smith deal, which could go down, maybe even a Kevin Love deal. What do you think in a perfect world this would look like tonight?
Okay, so, Anthony, there's any number of ways we can carve this up. I would be, you know, I'd be knocked on my head if they traded Kevin today, not because they wouldn't do it, but just because you're way too early in the process for a team that has cap space to take him on to make a trade like that. He's starting a 4-year, $120 million extension this season. He hasn't played a full season in 3 years. He's 30 years old. So if the Cavs are able to move him, I really don't think it would be until you have a team that strikes out in free agency. So that's the first thing. When you talk about what it is that the Cavs want to do, I think they want to get the best player. And I think for them, I think they want DeAndre Hunter. I think that's where they are with this. I think John Beilein wants him above the other players. But this is going to get really interesting, guys, because there are a couple teams looking to trade up into that fourth slot with our friend David Griffin and the Pelicans to actually take Hunter, which means that you're going to have arguably, maybe not even arguably, like pretty much unanimously the best player left in the draft, Darius Garland, sitting for you there at 5. And he plays pretty much exactly the way the guy you drafted at number 8 last year plays with Colin Sexton. So I think that's kind of a thing that's going to be really fascinating to watch develop throughout the course of the day. What happens if somebody trades into 4 to take Hunter? Now the Cavs are sitting there at 5 with a possibility of either drafting this player who's the best player on the board, or do you move back, knowing you'd still be able to get a wing there moving back. So, you know, there's a big gap, I think, between the ideal scenario and what may actually happen tonight.
Joe Vardon with us on the show. Lima's shaking his head over there. Doesn't like DeAndre Hunter. Tell him why, Tone.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about him. I know there's been discussion that the Cavs are really high on him, which makes me think the Cavs probably aren't that high on him. But who knows? You're more plugged in when it comes to those guys than anybody. What is he? What's your NBA comp for somebody like him? I know he's a good defender, but I'm not spending my top pick this year on somebody just because they're a good defender. I need somebody who can fill it up and score and do it in a variety of ways, and I just didn't see enough of that in college. I think he's a good player. Like, I don't think he's going to be a stiff. I don't think he's going to be a terrible NBA player. I just don't see a ceiling for him.
Well, I'm with you insofar as what I want in a rookie and what I want coming out for the Cavs and onto this team out of this draft. I just need more players who I think make that impact, that difference as a scorer. you know, all that being said, I mean, I haven't seen him play that much. I mean, and any NBA writer who spends his time in the NBA is lying to you if they say that they've seen a bunch of tape on these guys. I mean, we all watch Duke because that's what you, you know, they had so many great players that if you had time in between your own games, you're like, yeah, you throw Duke on. But otherwise, you know, you got to leave this to the people who do this for a living and the people out there who are really plugged into college basketball. And one of those people happens to be the new coach of the Cavs. He comes from Michigan. He spent all this time watching all this tape and on all these college guys, and also on his off nights when Michigan wasn't playing and he wasn't recruiting, he was sitting in his easy chair watching other college basketball games. He likes DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre is a defender first, which is, you know, one of the reasons why you and I would prefer they go somewhere else. But he is a defender. The Cavs have been crappy defensively for years. You know, Jetty, who plays the spot that DeAndre would take, had the worst, personal defensive rating among any starter in the NBA, followed by Colin Sexton was next there. Some of that has to do with scheme and your makeup of your team overall. But, you know, I think DeAndre is somebody who can go and be an on-ball defender and be a team defender. So you start there. But yeah, I mean, you know, you and I are looking at a guy like Darius Garland, who's drawing these, like, incredible comps to Dame Lillard and Kyrie Irving. And, you know, that's kind of where the NBA we thought was headed. So that's what you want. But I mean, if Beeline likes Hunter, then that's probably what the Cavs will do.
Should John Beeline really be that involved in the draft process?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to Owen, offline about this. And I understand you guys' concerns. I just think that the Cavs have invested in him and they've given him a 5-year deal. And I understand he's 66, and I understand that coaches don't make it real long, especially in Cleveland. But if they're going to do, like, they've kind of gone down this road, right? I mean, they hired John, they hired Lindsey. They're really trying to turn this into kind of a system-based team. And do I know what John's system is? No, because it's an NBA. He's jumping from the college to the NBA, so some of the stuff he did at Michigan isn't going to translate. But he does have something in mind. There's a certain way that he wants to play. So, yeah, I do think that he should have some say in this, especially, again, considering he comes from the college game. So he knows these players more so. Like, he has a closer understanding of these players to the way Mike Gansey understands them, Brandon Weems understands them, you know, the Cavs' whole front office, as compared with, you know, the coaches of the past, whether it's Blatt or Ty, or even LD, who obviously didn't take over until after all this took place last year anyway. So, yeah, so for this year, John should have tremendous say because he knows these players.
Joe Vartan joining us on the hotline. Do you think that maybe one of the goals with all these rumors about trading with Atlanta would be to get in that 8 to 10 range, have multiple swings at this draft?
Well, I mean, it could be, sure, but I think, you know, the Hawks could be the team that trades up to get Hunter. So if that happens, then I would have to say that a Hawks trade for the Cavs is off the table. And so now we're back into that thing of, okay, what do you do? You know, Phoenix, I think, wants Garland. Like, what can you get from the Suns to swap picks with them? I mean, it's only, what, one spot, I think? You know, I mean, can you do that? I don't know. I mean, do you take Garland then at that point? I mean, that's the discussion here. I mean, I know you're asking me about the Hawks trade, but if it's the Hawks who trade into four, I mean, certainly Griff would like those two picks. He's trying to build around Zion. So, you know, he's got cap space too, so it'll be interesting to see how he does it. So, yeah, I mean, if it's somebody else who trades it there with Griff, or if Griff makes the pick at four, which in that case I think it would be Culver, then I think the Cavs would be really interested in that, because they would still have an opportunity to take that wing that they want, And I also think they are interested in Kevin Porter Jr.
Joe, I know you've done extensive reporting on LeBron, Rich Paul. Obviously, Rich Paul got the big treatment in Sports Illustrated, and then voila, what do you know, Griff ends up, you know, pulling that deal. You know, so much was said last year about LeBron and whether or not he's even trying to win, whether or not he cares about basketball at all. Now they are the Vegas favorites right now. Right or wrong, they're the Vegas favorites to win the title. What else do you think LeBron has cooked up his sleeve, and what's going to happen with Kyrie Irving?
Wow, there's a lot there. I think that the reasoned, you know, sort of centric take on LeBron was that he left here for reasons other than strictly basketball. And he went to L.A. for sort of a bigger picture idea about where he wanted to live and where his family wanted to live, about the allure of playing for the Lakers, which is, if you want to call that part of a basketball decision, fine. And then things went terribly last year once he popped his groin, you know, and I mean, so the rest is history. So now he's still in L.A. He's happy to live there. He's happy to be there. They had a terrible off season until they didn't, until they pulled the trade they had to pull. And now they're going to have, they've got this sort of centerpiece guy in Anthony Davis, who is most likely going to be there for a very long time. And so now the next question is, okay, what is this Laker front office, who hasn't done very well by and large, what do they do next? Do they try and get this other star and then have, you know, the Bay Area, or what is it? I forget what their G League team is, the South Bay Lakers or something. I mean, is that how they fill out the rest of their roster? Or do they try and take the Raptors approach, which obviously seemed to work this year? You know, I don't know what to tell you about Kyrie and Brooklyn. I know that Brooklyn made that trade with Alan Crabb. That's a knowledge-based trade. That is a trade that suggests you are preparing to bring Kyrie on. I don't know about this latest stuff with KD. To me, KD was never really tied in with the Nets. I never really heard that. I mean, there was so much smoke there with KD and the Knicks. So I don't know whether or not I can believe these reports coming out now that Brooklyn would somehow turn away from Kyrie. I don't know that any team can do that. I mean, things didn't go great in Boston at the end. But I mean, he's still a, you know, I think he's a generational talent. And, you know, if Brooklyn, which is unfathomable to me, actually would actually be walking away from Kyrie. I mean, the Lakers would jump on him, you know, faster than you can jump on anything.
Joey, thank you very much for the time. All the best, buddy.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.